I'm Carol Blue, and I'm from the University of North Carolina in Greensboro. Actually, I had worked on this alcohol, tobacco, and other drug prevention when I worked at Purdue University in Indiana. And this program is from Illinois. It's an Illinois program. So it's I'm still involved in it, even though I've changed universities. The PI on the program is David Black. He's from Purdue. And people who are involved in the program itself are Sarah Howe and Mary Jo Peavy, and they have worked in this Illinois Alcoholism and Drug Dependence Association. So what I'm going to tell you about is a teen program that they have called Snowball, and my involvement in the program was to help them develop an evaluation of the program use, and I decided to do that with a theory-based program. So hopefully you'll see as a result of this presentation how you can use theory and measures of the concepts to evaluate a community program. I have no relationships to disclose. The background on teen tobacco use, there's 23% of high school students are current cigarette smokers, 8% of middle school students, that's almost 1 in 10. There's 4,000 young people between 12 and 17 who initiate smoking each day. 1,140 people become daily cigarette smokers, and there's just about as many marijuana smokers among teens, so smoking certainly is getting to be a problem and continuing to be a problem among teens. Alcohol use is as much of a problem with teens experimenting in alcohol. 44.7% of teens have said that they consume alcohol. There's episodic heavy or binge drinking in about 1 in 4. About 20% use marijuana, 3% cocaine, and 13% have used inhalants, such as paint inhalants. 1 in 5 teens abused a prescription pain medication. We have in North Carolina many television ads because that behavior is increasing a lot, where teens are using prescription medications from their grandparents, their parents, and other relatives where they can get prescription pain medication. 1 in 5 have abused prescription stimulants or tranquilizers. 1 in 10 abuse over-the-counter cough medications, too, to get high. Alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs use are associated with a variety of negative outcomes. There's a risk of ongoing drug use later in life. It may lead to school failure, poor judgment, which has its consequences too, in injuries, problems with working, illegal behaviors, unsafe sex, and even suicide. Approaches for alcohol, tobacco, and other drug prevention vary. There are micro-levels or school-based or individual-based programs for education. There are macro-level environmental and policy-based programs, theory-based programs, and then probably the best is a comprehensive or mix of these other three approaches to alcohol, tobacco, and other drug abuse prevention programs. Operation Snowball is a prevention program for youth and is affiliated with the Illinois Teenage Institute of substance abuse began in 1977, so it's a relatively older program. There's chapters for teens, and there are 150 and more chapters throughout Illinois. The program focuses on leadership development in empowering youth to lead drug-free lives, and it gives no use messages, not just safe use, but no use messages. It uses an outcome-based plan to support the direction of the program and as well as implementation and program planning. So the purpose of this study that I was involved in was to use the theory of planned behavior constructs, which are behavioral beliefs, normative beliefs, control beliefs, and then attitudes, subjective norms that have to do with alcohol, tobacco, and drug abuse, perceived control, and then intentions not to use alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs, and then we looked at alcohol, tobacco, and other drug behavior that was self-reported behavior from the teens. And what we wanted to do was develop the measures for the theory of planned behavior constructs and then to pilot an outcome evaluation using these measures so we could tell if this could be a good theory to use with the teens to measure outcomes of the programs and to plan future programs. So we did study one. This is the theory. One of the objectives of this talk was to look at the theory of planned behavior and see how this could be used in evaluation of a program. The theory says basically that the best predictor of behavior is one's intention to perform that behavior, and in this case it's a negative. Do not use alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs. So there are specific measures that Eisen talks about, and actually he has a website that you could go to tell you how to develop these measures. So I won't go into the attitude, subjective norm, or perceived behavioral control. They're more direct measures of these belief measures, and it's really the belief measures that we were interested in because they're developed from the population that we want to use them with. And so we developed those from teens who were in the Snowball program. Like I said, the belief scales were developed for the specific population. Eisen says you need to do an elicitation or a qualitative study to collect those beliefs from the population. And then you take the beliefs from each of the constructs and you group them into sets of beliefs. And from those sets, you can develop a scale item. And I have the website here if anyone is interested in that methodology. He's very explicit in describing it. There were about 200 teenagers who were recruited from Snowball programs. Then the beliefs about alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs were elicited. We used an open-ended questionnaire, paper and pencil questionnaire format instead of interview. The usual procedure is to actually interview people, but we asked for behavioral beliefs. What are the good things that would happen to you if you were to not use alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs? And then the second question was, what are the negative outcomes or the bad things that would happen to you if you were to choose not to use alcohol and other drugs? And then the teens just made a list of things. Normative beliefs, we collected those from the elicitation by asking who are the important others who would want you not to use alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs. And then the opposite of that was, who are the people important to you who might influence you to use alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs? And then the questionnaire format for the control beliefs were, what are the factors in your life that are there that would make it easy for you to not use alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs? And again, the opposite, what are the factors in your life that would make it difficult for you not to use alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs? We actually, Eisen says to ask as many questions until you get a saturation point, which is the normal procedure for any qualitative study. And that was reached at 14 questionnaires, although we continued to group things from all 200 questionnaires to make sure that we didn't miss anything that the teens might say. So these are the questions, and I put them in there so that you would have them if you wanted them. Okay, so we grouped the similar responses together into what Eisen calls the modal belief sets for each of the three belief constructs. And from those, we developed scale items that reflected the modal belief set. Then we had four experts in the theory of planned behavior, or people who had worked with teens with alcohol, tobacco, and other drug use programs. We had them look at our items and look at the beliefs that the teens gave us. And we found that we had almost 97% agreement that we had put the beliefs into a correct scale item and grouping. And then we also asked them how relevant that item was to the construct, to each of the three constructs, the behavioral beliefs, normative beliefs, and control beliefs. And we had 100% agreement in that. So we felt like we had good content validity for the measures. So when you develop a Likert-type scale, there's two things that you need to do for each construct. One is you have an outcome belief for the behavioral belief, and then you'll have a corresponding evaluation statement. So you, for example, it might say that an outcome for a behavioral belief is if I didn't use alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs, I wouldn't smell bad. And then an evaluation of that would be that that is good or bad on a Likert-type scale. You multiply those two and then sum all of the 9 scale items, and so you'll get a continuous scale for that. Okay, then we did a second study, and the purpose of this study was to pilot this outcome evaluation tool that had the theory of planned behavior measures in it. It was a pre-post-test design. We used a convenience sample of teens who were in the Operation Snowball. We used 2 chapters from Illinois. We had about 300 teens in the pre-test, and we ended up with 204, or 68%, at a 1-year post-test, which is not bad for a 1-year intervention in between. We had a mean change score between time 1 and 2, and we calculated that by subtracting time 1 mean from time 2 mean. And then we did a t-test for the differences in the means. So the results, we had 75% female, so quite a few more female. 89% were Caucasian, and which these snowball groups were down by Springfield, Illinois, so that is a more Caucasian area of Illinois than up by Chicago, for example. So it wasn't surprising that there were more Caucasian. There was diversity in that they were from grades 6 to 9, and that was pretty evenly spread out over the group. We looked at reliability of the measures, so we did have Cronbach's alpha reliability was acceptable for all three of the measures. And we looked at significant changes in the measures, and these are just examples of each measure for the behavioral belief. You can see that stay out of trouble, will not smell, will be safer, were relatively different between time one and time two. So you can look at the whole scale to see what the combination of behavioral beliefs are, or you can look at individual items, which is useful, because if these are the items that really change, then we might want to focus a future program on staying out of trouble, or smelling if you use cigarette smoke, or that you'll be safer if you don't use drugs. So that's how you can use the behavioral belief measures. These are normative beliefs, and again, family, teachers, and religious advisors were the three referent groups that would influence the teens most. And this came from the teens, remember, so it came from them themselves. So in future programming, you might want to focus on family, teachers, and religious advisors to influence the teens, since that was a positive change. Examples of control belief was staying busy, that they thought they had more control and not using alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs if they stayed busy. If their own beliefs supported that, and if they had discussed it with parents. So again, those are topics that could be used in a future program because they were significant in their behavior change between time one and time two within the whole year. Okay. Implications of this was the theory of planned behavior belief scales are valid and reliable for use with teens in the Operation Snowball program. A theory-based assessment and evaluation for the prevention program turned out to be a viable means to evaluate the program and to plan future programs, actually. And then future research should compare change in the theory plan behavior beliefs with a more diverse group, since most of this group was Caucasian, of teens in future Operation Snowball prevention interventions. But certainly we have the measures now that we can use for future planning and future evaluation of program. And that is the end of my presentation. Thank you.
This is our final speaker. I should say final. She's our concluding speaker.
Do that. Good morning. My name is Martha Garcia. I'm a public health nurse with the County of San Diego, and I have many co-authors, wonderful group of co-authors. Amelia Barilli-Simon, who is a MSW from the Office of Violence Prevention. Laura Carter, a public health nurse here with the County of San Diego. Bernadette Dragoon, a public health nurse. Elizabeth Grass, a public health nurse. Linda Lake, our chief public health nurse. Tara Mariquin, who is with the Office of Violence Prevention, Denise Thompson, also a public health nurse, and Sharni McLaughlin, MPH, I'm sorry, from our health promotion staff. Do I need to click something?